Welcome to the Approaching the Natural podcast with Sid Garza-Hillman and sponsored by the Stanford Inn Eco Resort on the Mendocino coast of California. Sid is a certified nutritionist, health coach, and author of Approaching the Natural, a health manifesto, out now on Roundtree Press. Sid is also the programs director at the Stanford Inn's Mendocino Center for Living Well, one of the most holistic and integrated wellness centers in the country. The Approaching the Natural podcast explores all aspects of human health, including nutrition, movement, mindfulness, art, and much more.
Hello, everybody. This is Sid Garza-Hillman once again for the Approaching the Natural podcast. And I come here each week and talk about all things related to health, which sometimes is a broader subject for me than for some, and that's okay. But I come at it with a small step bent. I am the small step advocate, and if you're just joining me in this podcast, you'll quickly understand where I come from on that. But of course, you know, go back and check out the last 22, and you'll get a good idea there too. So we're going to get rolling here. I have a few of my, you know, usuals. That's how that goes. Facebook, Transitioning to Health. Friend me there, like me there, whatever you do there. Twitter and Instagram is at Sid Garza Hillman. This podcast is sponsored by the Stanford Inn Eco Resort on the Mendocino coast of California. That's stanfordinn.com. It's a 41-room lodgy kind of, you know, just beautiful grounds, 10 acres with an organic farm and a full wellness center, which I head up. And that wellness center has gardening classes and cooking classes, and I teach nutrition and art play shops they have, and Chinese herbals, all sorts of cool stuff. So anyway, the wellness center is livingwellmendocino.com. You can visit there and find out. There's a whole bunch of retreats going on. We have 3 more yoga retreats this year. We've got 3 transitioning to health retreats that I'm in charge of, classes with me and cooking classes. And then we just added a plant-based cooking immersion retreat from May 19th through the 22nd, which is really cool too. So check it out, livingwellmendocino.com. Although the, do that. Okay. One other announcement is that my Spreecast, which was last Saturday, which if you're listening to this in like 2018, wasn't last Saturday. But I had my first Spreecast on March 1st and it was super fun. I wasn't sure what to expect. I've gotten decently good over time by taking small steps at trying new things. And that's one of the things I'll touch on today, just kind of, you know, when you do make a change in your life and you do it in incremental, manageable steps, and I mean for real manageable, it does instill in you a feeling of adventure. And I'm not even joking. Like you will try something new because it's not so overwhelming that you're going to be, you know, where you just turn it off. Like, I'm not going to do that. That's just crazy. That's just insane. But if you go, well, I can do like a little thing, there is a doing of something new. And that over time does change your life, like everything else that you do in small steps. But, you know, I'll get into that. But anyhow, so with that said, it's kind of cool. Like, I was kind of nervous about it. I wasn't sure what to do, but I'm like, okay, well, what's the worst that can happen, right? We have technical issues. We shut it down. I try it again. But it didn't. It was really fun. Good group of people. Great questions. It was my intention from the beginning to make this a monthly thing. And so anyway, that's happening because it was a success and it is something that I want to continue. So with that said, the next Spreecast is April 5th. It's going to be the first Saturday of every month, in case you forget, you know, like, what was the date? It's first Saturday of every month, and it's going to be going on for, you know, for good. I don't have any plans on shutting it down. We'll see how it rolls. And anyway, I think it was fun. People, you type in your questions, and I pop them up on the screen, and the group was manageable this time, and so I was able, I think I addressed everybody's questions. You know, there may be a point at some point soon where there's, you know, a fair amount of people on there, and I may not be able to get to everybody, but I think over time, I will be able to hit everyone's questions. It lasted about an hour, and that's probably what I'll keep it at, about an hour, but it's a way for you to get direct contact with me and shoot me questions and things like that. If you do have other concerns or questions about this podcast, or even suggestions of people that I might want to interview, you can always email me at Sid, No, sorry. Try it again. Podcast at transitioningtohealth.net. That's podcast at transitioningtohealth.net. And that's a way that you can reach me. Lastly, I do run a private practice called transitioningtohealth.net. And I want to let everybody know that I have just wrapped up with a couple clients. So if anybody's thinking about diving in deeper with me and you get to spend literally days or most days or even every day, depending on the package you sign up for. I keep my client list very small. And so this is a good time to jump in. I could probably use about one or two more and that would be it. I keep it small. So, you know, whatever. In the meantime, this podcast is dedicated to bucking the trend of diets and quick fixes. It is to be there as a way for you all to think about health and happiness in a completely different way. And in a way that makes you ideally over time begin to think about your health and happiness as a backdrop to everything else that you do in your life. My philosophy and my approach is meant to help people take control of their lives, even in ways that you are seemingly not health related. And so I get into that a lot. And it is a philosophy of health. It's a philosophy podcast, essentially, at the end of the day. It's philosophy. It's about ideas and concepts. It's far beyond diets and fitness plans and everything else like that. So yeah, it's how I roll. I was thinking the other day about how I studied philosophy. I got my bachelor's degree in philosophy years ago, more years than I'd like to think about sometimes. But I used to describe, you know, staying up all night and working on a, you know, philosophy is famous for like, you're going to do a, you know, 10-page paper on a paragraph of copy, you know, a paragraph of text, you know, from like a Kant book. And you're just like, how can I, what 10? And then you read the paragraph and you're like, oh yeah, there's 10 pages here, no doubt. You know, I don't know if it's just lost in translation or just the cryptic nature of these guys who just could not say it in simple terms, just to, you know. But anyhow, I used to wake up and I would describe it as having a philosophy headache because it was almost like a hangover. Like you were just battling these concepts overnight, you know, all night, and you just wake up like you drank, you know, or just ate too much, you know, sugar, you know, whatever. Just like, ah. Anyway, I don't get that with this podcast, thank goodness, but it is nice and refreshing for me to kind of continue diving in on these things past all the work that I did on the book, which was definitely, there were some nights there where I had woke up with a philosophy headache. There's no doubt about that. And my book, in case anybody's interested, is Approaching the Natural, a Health Manifesto. That's been out and it's on Roundtree Press and out everywhere, available everywhere. Throw me a review on iTunes. People have been doing that and I really appreciate it. It is a way for us to get the word out on this podcast. It's a free podcast and it always will be. But ways that you can dive in, if you're listening anyway and a fan of my message, then throw me a review. I'd really appreciate it. And that goes for Amazon and Barnes & Noble, wherever, you know. But iTunes for the podcast, and then you can review the book elsewhere. That's, you know, it for announcements. So last time I was training for, well, I was training for my last marathon, which was December, and midway through that training, I fell in my son's car seat. I don't know if you heard those episodes or that one episode, but fell in my car seat, son's car seat, full force onto my ribs, probably cracked a rib. I don't even know. But then went for a 16-mile run and had to take a week off of running. So I had a podcast about that just to kind of, you know, about the whole sticking to a plan kind of thing at your own expense. And I have gotten, I have to say, I've made great improvements. I was even talking to my wife about this, and she agreed that this time around, I have made great adjustments to my training plan. I talked about in the last podcast when I went on a trip and recently and adjusted then. I've been making an effort, you know, running without my watch and just kind of little things based on who I want to be. You know, not because somebody said you should try this, but like, who do I really want to be? And somebody not married to a plan to that level. Anyway, so 2 days ago, I was playing hide and seek with my son in the morning and went to hide behind a door fast and jammed my toe on the metal door stopper, just full force, boom. And black and blue, like my third and fourth toes on my left foot, just, you know, full just bruise the whole toe into the foot. Like, I don't even know what I did. Anyway, so that was a bummer. It has not affected my running, but I just am interested how my son damages me so far, 2 for 2 marathon trainings. His car seat, was he there? No, but it was his car seat. So I'm going to say that it was his fault. I can't say it's not his fault. It was his car seat. So the fact that I put it in that seat, that's sort of inconsequential, don't you think? And the fact that I installed the door, actually, I installed the door stopper to come to think of it, but it was his hide and seek game. Okay. And it's five, he's five, and I'm training for a marathon. He should know better. Anyway, that happened. But I ended up having an incredible run yesterday. Went on the beach for part of the run, popped off my shoes. Good cup of coffee. Popped off my shoes, went barefooting again. And it's been a while. I'm a barefoot style runner. For a while, I was actually running barefoot, like full on no shoes kind of thing, and did really well with that. But you know, it's like you got to keep up on that. And winter would take over, and you know, it was just kind of not a perfect idea. It's like a perfect example of like the six pack that I've referred to. Is my goal really to be a full barefoot runner? Not really. I run on terrain that's really rough and sharp rocks. It would take me years to develop that kind of foot to do that. I got bigger fish to fry. And that part of that is not frying fish. That's one of my goals. But I had an amazing run. And it made me think of plantar fasciitis because I was reading a study that was like a lot of barefoot runners have plantar fasciitis. And I'm going to get into how my take on that in a few minutes. There's the teaser. Okay, one more story. I was in line at the market grocery store yesterday. And after my 10-miler on the beach, feeling good, this guy in front of me had his cart. And I have this bad habit of, because I'm a nutritionist, I kind of glance, at people's, cup of coffee. Hello. I glance at people's carts. Just getting the lay of the land. You know, I'm not like getting in their face. I don't even mention it. Okay. I look. So what this guy had, I'm not joking. Now this could be just a day that he was like, I'm just going to have this today. So it's not, there's no judgment here. And even if it was how he eats, there's no judgment. I mean, it really isn't. It's like if he is at his place, great. But he had eggs, cheese, butter, lobster, two potatoes, and frosted flakes. A box of frosted flakes. Now, I'm looking at that and I'm going, I'm shocked. And here's why. Everybody who has any kind of knowledge at all will know that frosted flakes is not the best cereal by a long shot. It is kind of an amateur move. And the thing is I'm going, everybody, most people who are in the know, and I'm assuming most people who know this podcast are going to know that Captain Crunch with Crunch Berries is an adult move. It's a superior move. It's an advantageous move. It's completely different arenas. So this guy's frosted flake in it. That's boring. It's corn flakes with a sugar on it. My kid can develop that cereal, but who can develop Captain Crunch with Crunch Berries? Now, berries, more natural. So Crunch Berries, you know, if anybody's in a foreign country right now, you don't have Captain Crunch with Crunch Berries, first of all, I feel sorry for you. And second of all, Google it. It's Cap'n at C-A-P apostrophe N. You want to know why? The U.S. invented it. We don't have time for stuff like T-A-N-I. We apostrophe it. Boom. Make it a shorter word. It's more efficient. We get the box out faster. That's how we roll in the States. And Cap'n Crunch with Crunch Berries, that and Jazz are the two, are the two greatest achievements of the United States. And people really won't argue with me on that in general. So that was shocking. Shocking. Grown man. It could have been for his kid. Maybe. I doubt it. I'm just saying. I had a problem with that. I like to share small steps with people that I'm taking. So journaling is a big thing for me. And we've talked about meditation. And I think I've referenced journaling a little bit with regards to what I have asked my clients to try. It is very, it adds a lot to my, it's enriching to my life. In fact, one of the titles that I was working on this podcast, this episode was enrich your life to enrich your life. And one of the things is that journaling is for me is an act of great enrichment. I feel good about it. It just gets stuff out on the paper. It kind of clears my head a little bit. But like most people, I'm kind of in the, like, if I don't have the 30 minutes to do it, I find myself not doing it. And so in living what I espouse on this podcast and in my book and everything else, is I backed off and I said, well, if I'm not doing this every day and I want to do it every day, because I do, I wish I could journal every day. I mean, that is my goal. So there's my goal. Boom. I want to journal every day. Am I there yet? No, I'm not there. But what I am doing is setting a goal that I realized was too much given my life right now. Too much. So for me to carve out 30 minutes or whatever I felt like I needed was too much given my life at this moment. So instead of saying, well, I'm a failure because I can't do that, I said, well, I'm going to just better back off and I'm going to just do as little as possible, even if that's one sentence or even one word. I want to put my pen to the paper. And that's going to be my goal. And I'm starting that today. So I just want people to know that's how you kind of work on that, is you think about it in that way. I'm going to get into a little bit deeper, but that's just kind of where I'm at. Okay. So I'm going to step back into that in a few minutes. I want to kind of go through a few things before I get into the title of this podcast, this episode, which is This Is, and then The Rest of Your Life. So one of the things that I wanted to touch on was a question that came up during the Spreecast, which was about hormone therapy, I think in relation to menopause. I get a lot of these kinds of questions about, you know, and they're good questions and they're thoughtful questions, but, you know, that's, you know, diabetes, you know, people with diabetes will come to me and they'll go, well, you know, my naturopath put me on a high protein diet because it balances my blood sugar. Yes, it does. Hormone therapy can assist with the menopause kind of transition to kind of balance you out. Yes. The question is, when you think about it in a broad picture way, and you think about the fact that while high protein diets, and by high protein, I mean, of course, they're talking about animal protein. So this person was on whey protein shakes, junk food. Now, is it balancing? Is it preventing her blood sugar from spiking? Probably. Is it healthy? Not in a million years. So if you look at the response to that one thing with that one solution, there might be some movement in that very small little box. Okay, so you've got diabetes issues and you've got high, I mean, I think she was, I don't even know, she's probably diabetic, but maybe pre-diabetic or insulin resistant, they call it, where the body's not responding to insulin the way that it's designed to. Insulin gets the sugar out of the blood, takes it to the cells. If insulin can't get it out of this blood, your blood sugar rises, and there's some very damaging effects to having too much sugar in your blood. Artery damage, and people with diabetes oftentimes suffer more from the secondary effects of diabetes, which, you know, are heart problems, but also arthritis and circulatory issues. That's why a lot of times they'll have limbs amputated. It just causes a huge amount of trouble. But so do high protein diets. And what I want to get to is that while somebody might go, yeah, well, I get a relief here, but the big picture of the human body is that it's very complex. And this is one of the things that I learned when I was studying to be a nutritionist. I may have mentioned this before, but there was one book that had pretty good information. But then it started to recommend diets for certain things. And I found discrepancies. Well, not discrepancies, but I found opposite recommendations. So like if you have cancer, it would recommend these things. And then if you had diabetes, it would recommend different things, or arthritis, even different things. And I was like, well, you could have diabetes and arthritis. You could have cancer and diabetes. What do you do then? Is it really that different? Do we really have so specific diets per disease? I don't think we do. I think the very same diet that is natural, and this is why my approach is approaching the natural, because when we appeal to the natural design of our bodies, there are foods we respond to and foods we do not. Whey protein is something we don't respond to. It does not make us healthier. Will it raise your blood sugar less than eating sugar? Yes, of course, but it doesn't mean it's happy. It doesn't mean it's healthy. And the issue of blood sugar comes down more to the fat intake. And this person that I talked to was highly overweight, highly overweight. So for me, that naturopath was irresponsible in going, I'm going to put you on a high protein diet. That's a stopgap measure. That won't have any long-term health benefits at all. They're going to get the win because the blood sugar stops rising as much. And so they're going to look like a success as a practitioner, but that's not a success because they're not applying the right tools to make the body achieve a greater level of health, which will then affect insulin resistance and affect arthritis and affect the swings that due to menopause and all those kinds of things. My point is that it comes down to the body and the balance of the body. And while hormone therapy might be a stopgap measure and a necessary one, and high protein or something like that, or even a prescription drug could be a necessary addition to somebody who is suffering at a certain level that they need that kind of, I talked about a swinging pendulum. Well, if you've already got diabetes, maybe you need to swing pretty wide and get on insulin and get on, you know, some other prescription drug for whatever you have. But that's a stopgap measure. That's a stopgap measure. And to continue on those things usually results in more damage than you started with, because they're not natural for the body. Now, we live in an unnatural world. So again, we're susceptible to bacterial infections. We never were susceptible to thousands and thousands of years ago. We've created more bacterial problems. We created tons of problems in when we became more sanitized in a way, because now we're so sanitized. Everyone's walking around with sanitizing solution. Are we healthier? How are we doing? How's our immune systems doing? How are our immune systems? Are we getting less flus nowadays? They're coming on strong, everybody, because our immune systems are weakened. We're moving past the point where we even have antibiotics for a lot of the bacterial infections. A lot of the problems we suffered as a species came when we started to build cities and we didn't have proper sanitation with regards to our waste and refrigeration and things like that. And so we've had to counteract that, and I understand that. But I think to keep your eye on the ball in terms of that you might need prescription drugs or you might need to do something for a short period of time, there is no substitute for a body in balance. Why? Because it's the natural state of our body, period. It's a natural state of our body. And the beauty of my thinking on this is that when you keep your focus on making your body in a natural state, in a balanced state, the closer you get to that natural design, the better you feel in all respects. There are benefits to a balanced body that go way beyond hormone therapy, way beyond taking insulin or any prescription drugs. There are benefits to a balanced body, and here's the win-win. There are benefits to working in a small step approach to achieving that balance. There's benefits along the way. I touched upon one earlier, when you just make that step, it's like that idea of trying new things. That's just one of the beautiful things. But you also get a sense of achievement because you're not setting your long-term goals so far out of the stadium that you can't even get there. It's like you can't even fathom because you've just set these massive, I'm going to run an 800-mile race. I mean, nobody says that, but it's as if you know, doing some of these diets is like saying, I'm going to run an 800-mile race. It's not achievable. It's not achievable. It's not something that's in the realm of possibility for you. Know what your goals are. Think about what your goals are. You know, really apply thought what they are. And I'm going to get into that a little bit in a moment. But anyway, there's no substitute for a body in balance. Once your body's in balance, may you still need hormone therapy? Sure. May you still have diabetes? Sure. I can't speak to that. I'm not going to say it's going to cure everything. But it makes the trip more enjoyable. That is a fact. That's a fact. When you work to that, you might still need all the things that we need, think we need in this world, and sometimes we do. Psychiatry, psychology, Ayurveda, Chinese herbals, acupuncture, acupressure, yoga, Tai Chi. I mean, I could go on and on. There's all these therapies that have their own merit and validity. That's a fact. None are a substitute for a healthy body. None, period. Even in psychiatry, even in the psychological realms, there are incredible benefits to a healthy body. The way we think, and I've gone into this very deeply in other podcasts, but the way that we present in the world, how we feel in our bodies affects our moods. So if you suffer from depression and go to a psychiatrist, if you get your body unhealthy, may you still have to go to that psychiatrist? Of course. But I think that that psychiatry or that psychology or whatever it is you're using can be actually more effective if you're working with a healthy starting point. I mean, if you're the other title, I had threw around a few titles for this podcast, but the other one was Square One, because it's like start from square one. Don't. I had somebody one time go, you know, my kids got severe ADD, and I've tried Ritalin, and I've tried this, and I've tried that, and I've tried the other thing, and I want to come to you as a nutritionist because this is like the last thing. I don't even know what else to try, and I'm thinking this should have been the first thing. Feeding the body what it needs to run well, and running well is thinking well, is being able to focus, is being able to move around, is being able to see and hear, all those things, begins with how you feed that machine. Doesn't end with it, but it begins with how you feed that machine. And that's the place to start. And if you're already in a place where you need some of these therapies, keep on them. It's fine. All I'm saying is to start to kind of bring in on the other side, like, well, are there other things I could be doing? Are there other things I could be doing? What an empowering, and I hate the word empower, but sometimes I got to use it, but what an amazing place that you're on prescription drugs and all these things, and then you think, what can I do? What, you know, the pharmaceutical companies are producing your pill, but what can you do? What little thing can you do to take part of your life back, to own part of your life? Whatever it is you can take on, take it on. And that's the small step philosophy, is what can you do? You're not a victim. Nobody here is a victim. I don't care where you're at. You can do something. You can do an act to take care of yourself and feel what that's like, because there's nothing like it. I mean, there's nothing like it. There's enough in this world that takes power away from us. Trust me. You can take power back when you can. You can. There's things you can do right now. I don't care what situation you're in, because you can walk around. You can move. If you can't walk, you can move your arms around. You can lift up books. I mean, I'm not joking. This is not trivial stuff. I'm saying if you're bedridden, you can lift up books and do five sets of lifting heavy books with your arms. Why? Because you want to take care of yourself. Because you want to send the message to your body that it's worth taking care of. Okay? And that's where I'm going with this thing. And, you know, already happened. It's already happening. One thing I wanted to talk about too that came up a little bit in the Spreecast. So I probably will do this where, you know, the Spreecast will happen, and then I'll kind of touch upon some things that come up during that Spreecast, because this is when I get the direct interaction with you all. And by the way, the Spreecast can be anywhere in the world. Okay. It's at noon. I figure that's not bad. Europe can kind of, you know, chill on it. I think even New Zealand, which is my new favorite country. Don't know if they have Captain Crunch with Crunchberries. That would be a deal breaker. But you can, I think the time is pretty good. So anybody can weigh in on that. It's free. Okay. It's free. Jiminy Christmas. One thing that came up was the whole fruit thing. And this kind of speaks to the whole like insulin for diabetes. And it's kind of like, we have this very reductionist way of thinking. We're sold that. And so without thinking about it, we will adopt that kind of thinking. We're sold, you know, pills of calcium because we can measure, we can see on that bottle how much we love that idea. We love putting things in pills because we are under this false pretense that it's totally measurable and that we have enough. Forget about what the body does with it. Forget about how your digestion is. Forget about how your bacteria is in your gut. Forget about how your colon wall is. Forget about all the things that that your body is doing that are so far beyond our understanding even now that it's insane. But we like the idea that on a pill, because we're told. So if we're told that we need calcium because we have brittle bones, which is we consume more calcium in the United States than anywhere in the world, but we have the worst bone health. That's a fact. We're top three calcium consumers. We put more calcium in our bodies than almost anywhere in the world, and we have some of the worst bone health in the world. That's just, you know, added up. That's because the bones are way more than just calcium, but that's another issue. My point is that we have this very reductionist thing. So we're told, like, you have brittle bones, you better take a calcium supplement. Well, how much? Well, 1,000 milligrams twice a day. Okay, we like to measure everything. There's a couple things going on. It's very uncomfortable for people. And this is, again, it's always going to come back, right? So I have this thing where I can give you the information, but my whole reason of doing this podcast and the book and everything else is because I couldn't get through to people until I realized that if I ease them in a way that creates a comfortable place for them, then they will make that change. Well, this is that thing, because if I said to everybody, you don't have to count calcium, you don't have to count vitamin A, none of the B vitamins, none of the 13 vitamins, none of the minerals. If you eat a variety of whole plants, you're fine. Well, that freaks people out. Why? Because especially with people with kids, like, I'm like, dairy is the worst thing for your child. It's almost the worst. Your body understands sugar in better than it does just breast milk from a cow. It just gums up the gears. There's no getting around it. I mean, it's skin issues, autism, ADD, ADHD, ear infections. I mean, all these things are being brought back to dairy. We should be weaning our kids at the age of around one or two, and then that's it for breast milk. Certainly not from a cow. But when you talk to parents about that, it freaks them out, rightfully so, because they're told that they need these things by people who are not nutritionists. They're told that they need these things, or else their kids are going to suffer immeasurably. And what a way to freak somebody out if you go, yeah. I mean, you know, people look at me like I'm torturing my kids by feeding them a plant-based diet when they barely go to the doctor except for checkups. And they're totally healthy. Their skin is perfect. Their teeth are coming in fine. If they were deficient in something, we'd know by now. I know they're not deficient because I have the knowledge and I was able to, you know, I'm okay. I feel comfortable doing that. But as a parent, I'm sure it would freak me out if I didn't know and somebody said, you got to be doing this. I'd be like, oh my God, I'm not doing that. I better do that right away. But we have that kind of reductionist. We like things measured and we like to know where we stand on things. And people buy hundreds of dollars of supplements and they take these, you know, massive amounts of pills. And they talk about how expensive it is to eat healthy, even though they wouldn't have to buy any of those things if they ate healthy. But how are they going to get there? How are they going to get to the point where they eat healthy? Well, they're going to have to ease their way in. And if you ease your way in, you realize, oh, wait, I'm not dying. Oh, wait, my bones are slowly returning. Oh, I have more energy. Easing my way in. But if you jump 0 to 60 and you adopt this completely new diet, you add this whole bunch of stress to your life. That stress weakens your immune system. You might get sick. You go, what happened? I'm eating really healthy. That's because you're not ready to eat healthy yet. You're not ready to eat that thing yet. Maybe you are. Depends on where you're at in your life. Okay? But back to this fruit thing. 100% of people who know that I eat as much fruit as I eat have said, what about the sugar? That's a lot of sugar. And I want to set the record straight on this. And this is our reductionist thing, right? We think sugar. Is there sugar in fruit? Yes. The question is, what else is there? Well, there's a little bit of protein. There's a little bit of fatty acids. There's a ton of vitamins and minerals. There's fiber. There's antioxidants. There's phytochemicals. And there's water. There's all those things. Sugar in candy is sugar and sugar. Sugar in fruit is sugar and all of these other things. It's the all of the other things that we should be focusing on. And interestingly, I was thinking about the other day, nobody who drinks whey protein shakes ever gets the, boy, that's a lot of protein, isn't it? But they should, because high protein is very damaging on the human body. We're not a high protein species. We are a high carbohydrate species. Carbohydrate, yes, sugar, carbohydrate equal. But it's what it in. What is the context that the sugar is in? What is it? How is it being? How is the sugar being delivered into your body? Another good question. How's the fat being delivered into your body? How's the protein being delivered into your body? Is the protein being delivered into your body with a bunch of fat and also no fiber and proportionally very little vitamins and minerals and no water, because that's animal products, then that's going to yield you a certain level of health. Is the protein delivered in with all those things, vitamins, minerals, phytochemicals, antioxidants, fiber, water, like kale, 50% protein, more protein than beef? Is that how it's delivered? Well, that's going to make a difference too. And again, in the spectrum of unhealthy food to healthy food, it's a spectrum. So some animal products are healthier than some plant products, like white sugar and white flour. So it just depends on where, and some animal products are healthier than other animal products. It's a spectrum, and you have to find your own balance with regards to heavy box and light box foods, what I say in the book, heavy box and light box foods. But the sugar in fruit is nothing to be afraid of. In fact, the American Diabetic Association said, sugar, added sugar, that's what you should call it. Be aware of added sugar, just like added salt. See what we do? We add it. When you add sugar to something, you're making it an unnatural food. There is no added sugar in nature. There is sugar in the context of plants, yes, but not added. And when we add sugar, when we add salt, we create disproportionately high levels of those things. And that, guess what it does? I've talked about it before. It trips that little ding bell in our heads. And we go, ding, ding, ding. This is awesome. The body doesn't know the difference. The body doesn't know that you're not in the wild. The body's just like, what did you find? How did you find this plant? This is the most amazing plant. I cannot believe you found a numino plant. Pick as many as these of these freaking things and put them in your satchel and bring them with us, because this is an amazing amount of calories that we just found. We're not going to need to worry about food for weeks. That's what your body's right there. It's like, this is amazing. So it doesn't know the difference. All it knows is that you're giving it something that is totally out of whack. And your body's going to adjust to that depending on what you do most of the time. That goes back to my MOD episode, what you do most of the time. Your body will just adjust to what you do most of the time. Your body actually already has adjusted right now. What you're sitting in, your body right now, is calibrated to what you've been doing most of the time. Just so you know. Does it suck that it takes a long time to change your level of health and happiness? Only because we're sold a false bill of goods by books and media and everything else. I mean, that's the only reason. The only reason it sucks, and I talked about this before, it's like the only reason it sucks is because we've been somehow, people are trying to convince us that it can be done faster. It can't. I was watching the most heartbreaking video ever. Look up on YouTube. I think it was Freely, this girl Freely who does a bunch of videos, but she featured some of these stories by Biggest Loser, that show. In the U.S., I don't know if you have it in anywhere else in the world. I have to speak to people all over the world because that's who's listening. But it's called The Biggest Loser, and it's this contest about who can lose the most weight. Well, they've done follow-ups with some of these people, a lot of them actually, who've lost, you know, they lost 250 pounds for the contest, and they won, and then they gained it all back. And it is the most heartbreaking thing to see these poor people. And by the way, to lose the weight for the contest, for the big weigh-in, they're starving themselves. They're sitting in saunas for hours and hours just before the weigh-in. They're literally going on like dry fast, just like crazy stuff, because it has nothing to do with health and happiness. Nothing. But this is what I'm up against with some clients who are like, well, look at The Biggest Loser. They're losing 5 pounds a week. It's like, no, they're not. And not in a way, I mean, technically they're not, they are, but they're not losing real weight in a sustainable way. So if you want to go on Biggest Loser and that's your thing and that makes you happy, great. But these people are not happy. They're not happy gaining 300 pounds back. Trust me. You know why? Because they didn't deal with the things behind the veil, which is where I sit, behind the veil, always behind the veil. What is it? If you're overeating, okay, sure, you can tackle the overeating. You can tackle the foods that you overeat and get rid of them in the thing and in your house, and you can have a person help you with all that. And that's fantastic. And I do that for a living. But I also do this. What are the circumstances where you find yourself overeating? That's the question I want to know. What are the circumstances where in which you find yourself overeating? That's the question, because when you solve that question, then there's no battle. It's liberating. You don't have to think about food and what you can't have all the time. You don't feel like having it anymore. It's like in the Matrix. He's like, will I be able to dodge bullets? He's like, eventually you won't have to. I mean, eventually you won't have to battle with yourself about these foods that you're dying to have, but you can't have because you're on some diet plan. What a miserable existence, in my opinion. You love it, do it. But I don't think you do. This is the rest of your life. This is the title of this podcast. What do I mean by that? What I mean by that is this. I want you to think about this. When you read your next diet book, okay, if you're into diet books, and most people are because they make lots and lots of money, when you read your next diet book, read up until the point that you start seeing the shopping list and the plan, the meal plans, as if everybody has time to produce all these meals every day, as if everybody cooks all these things every day. But don't get me started. Get to the point where that starts, and then pause for a second. Okay, so you've read all the information, and a lot of these diet books are great. The information's great. It's like, you're okay, I got it. Yeah, seen that. Get to the plan. Read through the plan, but don't read through it like you're going to start it today. Read through it with this mindset. This is just an exercise for you. Read through it like this. Is this something I can do for the rest of my life? Ask that question. Is this 12-week plan that's laid out for 12 weeks and everything's laid out and everything's measured? You know exactly how much protein you're getting. You know exactly how much carbs you're getting. Bad word, carbs. Best nutrient source, best energy source for us, but somehow it's a bad word. Thanks, Dr. Atkins. You know exactly how many carbs you're getting. You know exactly how much fat you're getting. You know exactly how many calories of those three things you're getting. You know maybe even how much calcium you're getting. I don't know. It's all weighed out. You got it. It's organized. It's laid out. You feel safe. You've got it all laid out. Nobody's going to die here during this 12 weeks, I'll tell you much. Can you do this for the rest? Forget about the 12 weeks. Can you do this for the rest of your life? If you don't know the answer to that, then no. Unless it's a resounding yes, then small step into it. And know that along the way, you might change. The beauty of setting a goal. So I want to tangent a little bit off into the goal thing. You can have a goal. And I actually touched on this in the last podcast, but you can have a goal that's more general, like I want to get healthier and happier, right? Then you can have a goal that's like my goal of training for a marathon. Well, I know that training for my marathon is not taking away from my health and happiness. It's part of health and happiness. Like I like it. It's fun for me. It's rewarding for me. I'm not fooling myself to say I'm not going to touch my diet and I want to lose weight. So I'm going to train for a marathon. That's a fool's errand. That's just, you're setting yourself up for failure. And there's a real failure to that, like a real marked failure. But if you say, see, for me, I got to a level of health and fitness in my own life and a balance in my own life such that training for a marathon doesn't take that away from me. It doesn't take it away. Now, here's what I know about training for a marathon. It is adding stress to my life. I'm not dumb. I'm not the smart. I don't know if I've mentioned this before. One time I referred to somebody as not the smartest tool in the shed, and somebody who was standing next to me goes, I think you mean sharpest tool in the shed. And I was like, damn it. Anyway, so I know that training for a marathon is adding stress to my life. I know that. And you do too, because you listen to this podcast. I'm not fooling myself to know that I got a butt. I remember the last episode, treat yourself, no pain, all gain. I'm adding a little pain in. I had to be at a place in my life. I'm 45. I ran my first marathon at 44, at the end of almost 45 years old. I didn't run it before then. I obviously wasn't ready. I did some half marathons, but I wasn't ready. It wasn't something that I loved. It wasn't something I had to do, but I was like, you know what? At this point in my life, my kids are old enough. All these other parts of my life were kind of in a place where I was like, you know what? I think I can handle this. It's not going to infringe on the quality of my life. What infringes on the quality of your life? What are you doing that infringes on the quality of your life? If a diet or a training plan infringes on the quality of your life, you don't have to do it. You are in charge. What I teach people via this podcast and my practice is how to take control of your life so that you understand that you are in control. And that's a fact. You have to believe it and learn to believe it, but it's there. And when you take small steps, that's how you know. Because as powerless as you feel with regards to your health and happiness, as powerless as you feel with your addiction, if you have it, to food and drugs and whatever else that you might be addicted to, you have the power. It's just being reminded. It's being helped and shepherded to the point where you are reminded and then believe it and understand it every day. And then boom, rest of your life. This is the rest of your life. How do you set yourself up for the rest of your life? Are you doing something? Are you taking a small step today that you can do for the rest of your life? Now, does that mean that you're going to do it for the rest of your life? No, but could you say to yourself, can I do this for the rest of my life? Can I drink a glass of water in the morning? Just one glass of water? Can I do that for the rest of my life? Yes. Yes, you can. In my mind, I'm asking myself and I'm answering. I can drink a glass of water for the rest of my life. Now, will there be days where I don't? Of course. Now, is there another step where, can I eat fruit right now in my life? Can I eat fruit most of the day for the rest of my life? Yes, I can. Now, what if I move to another country where I don't have access to fresh fruit? Will I change that? Of course. because I don't want to be bound to, then I'm miserable because I can't eat fresh fruit every day. I'm going to be more miserable because I can't eat fresh fruit than I will be just by not eating the fresh fruit, because I'm adding all this stress into my life about how I couldn't stick to the plan that I had set. The beauty of making health and happiness a goal for the rest of your life is that you fill in the blanks along the way, and you are free to change those things, those details. It's all about the details at that point. I mean, it's all about the details. Can you do this the rest of your life? If you're dreading your workout every day, now, you know, look, there's once in a while. I'm dreading the long run, you know, like, oh God, you know, once in a while. And I know myself enough to know that even if I'm dreading, this morning I ran 6 miles in the rain and I was sitting in my car. I posted an Instagram photo. You can see it. I'm sitting in my car and I'm like, mother, I do not want to, like, I just didn't want to run. And I was almost like, I almost actually almost backed out to go to a treadmill that's at the wellness center. And I, you know what, pulled back in, stopped the car. And I was like, you know what, I'm just going to do this and it could suck and I'll turn around. But I know myself enough to know that 5 minutes after that, when the raindrops started, stopped bothering me as much and being cold and everything, then I was one of the, it was just an awesome run. Nobody's out there. It's quiet. I can hear the rain. I'm running along a river. It's like, it could be worse, right? It was an amazing run. I would have robbed myself of that if I had just given into that whole thing. But that's once in a while. But if I was dreading running every day, if it was just something that dreading, and I found myself thinking about during the day how much I dreaded running the next day, what kind of quality of life is that? I want you to think about the things that you're doing. If that spin class that you go to 5 days a week is stressing you out, if you're not looking forward to that, then you're not ready for that spin class. I don't care who's told you, you got to go, you got to get a workout. No pain, no gain. Got to get a workout. If you don't bust your ass, it ain't worth it. What's not worth it? That you burned 200 extra calories? Was that your goal? Or is your goal to feel good day to day? Is your goal 12 weeks down the line? Well, I'll feel happy then. 12 weeks after I finish the diet, I'll be happy. Or is your goal, I actually want to be happy today. I want to be happier today. I want to be happier today. I want to be healthier today. You can do that. Small steps dictates that you can do that. There's no failure when you set health and happiness as your goal and you small step into it. There's no goal. There's no failure. There's only recalibration. There's little adjustments changing, but the backdrop, I've talked about it as being like a movie screen, the backdrop's there. Health and happiness, boom. And the more you inform your choices based on the health and happiness goal, the healthier and happier you're going to be. And all you're learning is how to do that more and more over time. How do I make more of my choices about my health, how do I make more of my choices related to my health and happiness? Some choices we make aren't for our health and happiness, aren't to better our health and happiness, aren't to improve our health and happiness. That's a fact. Nobody does it 100% of the time. But if we can go like, well, little more, the things I'm doing in my life are for my own health and happiness, but I feel so bad. It's so selfish that I feel really good in my body and I'm happy so that I'm a better parent and a better friend and a better sibling and a better worker. How horrible. How horrible to make yourself feel good so that you relate to the world and actually improve other people's lives as a result of how good you feel in your own body. How kind you can be. How much more kind you can be. When you treat yourself well, you become a person who deserves to be treated well. When you show yourself respect, you become a person who deserves respect. When you trust yourself, the real you, remember the real you, the you that's I believe is already in you, that person you write about in your paragraph. And if you haven't done that, try it someday. I am present tense. I am this. I weigh this much. I feel this good. I have this much energy. I run this much every day. Create whatever shape that life for you looks like. Write it. If that person in you, if you trust that person, you become trustworthy. If you trust that person to make your decisions, you become trustworthy. Because the act that you're doing is you're saying, I'm treating myself well. I deserve to be treated well. I'm putting this celery in my mouth once a day because it's all I can do right now. And I'm showing myself once a day that I'm a person that needs to be respected and treated well. And that's more today than I showed myself yesterday. And therefore, it is positive. If one stalk of celery is too much and you can only do a half a stalk of celery, you're still showing yourself respect and you're still treating yourself well. It's a positive direction. The step is just, you got to find a thing that you can do. It's like inconsequential in a way. I mean, it's the step. So it's a, you know, of utmost importance, but this, what the step is not really that important. It's that you do something that is important, because that's what shows you the message. I mean, that's what sends you the message, that how you treat yourself affects how you deserve to be treated. It sets how you deserve, how you should be treated in the world, in a way. So people who kind of walk in the world and go, I can't believe this is happening to me. One thing to look at, you know, in a way, it's kind of like a bummer to go, well, why don't you look at yourself? And you go like, well, that sucks. But at the same time, it's like, what more ownership and power does that bring you? If your first question out of your mouth is, something bad happened to me at work, what can I do better? That means you're in control. Just the act of thinking about that is empowering. Just the act of just like turning in and going, you know what, I'm going to kick that better. Or, you know what, I have the power to go somewhere else. I'm going to take small steps to make that happen. I'm not dealing with this crap anymore. I have the power. I'm not stuck anywhere. Just the thinking about it makes your life move in a direction. It's just the speed that people are frustrated with. And that's why they jump to the quick fixing, because they want it tomorrow. It doesn't come tomorrow. It comes whenever it comes. It comes when it's ready to come in your life, as long as you have that goal of health and happiness as a backdrop to your life. The thing is that we all think, in a way, we all think about health and happiness. We just don't necessarily aren't conscious of it, but we all every day think to our, like, we think, what do I want to eat next? What do you want to have for dinner tomorrow night? Right? You're thinking about your happiness at that point. Maybe not your health, but you're thinking about, I'll put it this way. You think about the quality of your life, because you're thinking about, what do I want to do? Where do I want to go on vacation? What do I want to do after work? You're looking to the things that enrich your life. You're looking to fill time whenever you can with things that will enrich your life. If it's going out and getting loaded after work, you don't do that because it's painful. You do that because that enriches your life. That's a fact. It just makes you feel better. You look forward to doing it, and it's a stress release. All I'm advocating for is saying, given the premise that you think about adding things in your life that make you feel better, what if you just changed those things? And instead of looking at it like, I've got to give up all those things and therefore I'm miserable, what if you think, I'm just going to change those things that add to my life into different things that maybe enrich my life in a longer term sort of way. And I'm going to ease my way in to those things. Oftentimes I get, you know, I would eat, you know, they'll say like, I would eat like you, but you know, I just love food. I mean, I get that all the time. So I would be plant-based, but I just love food, right? The message there is that anybody who does anything that they don't do must be miserable. Anybody that doesn't eat like I eat must be miserable. So why would I do what you do if you're miserable and I love my food? Why would I do change? I mean, that's the protective kind of instinct that we have. Like, we want to be right. We want to feel like what we're doing is the best thing. So why would we change our diets when we love our food? It's impossible to conceive that if we changed our food, we would still love it as much as we do. I love food as much as I have ever loved food. I just love different food than I used to love. I mean, but for me to understand that meant that I had to small step into it, because it would be kind of miserable if you just changed your diet tomorrow. And this is why people can't last on diet. Another reason why people can't last on diets for forever, for the rest of your life, because it is abrupt and it is kind of miserable. And you're like, I'm not used to these tastes. Like, this is not I haven't done this long enough to make this now my most of the time. I mean, and so it, you know, makes sense. But the idea that, you know, people are they want to, like, you know, I'm trying to ease people. I put the book out, right? And like, the book had just come out. And I remember this, I got this comment and the person was like, I have a few tattoos. You know, I got them when I was in my 20s. I don't regret it. But this person was like, you have tattoos. That's not natural. It's like, oh, for the love of all that's holy. You know, like, you got me. Yes, you know, you totally got me, nailed. Now, the book's called Approaching the Natural, and I don't in the book you know, few times I say, you know, knowing that we're all not going to go back and live in the forest for the rest of our lives, you know, like it's not being all the way to the natural. It's finding a balance along the way. There's no, people want to just be like, no, you're full of crap because you have tattoos and your book's about natural and that's not natural. End of story. Why do I have to think about what I'm doing? I'm fine. You're the one that's a hypocrite because you have tattoos and you wrote a book about being natural and it's not natural to have tattoos. Bye. End of story. Case in point, checkmate. Figure out if your life is where you want it to be. It's okay if it's not. Whose is? It may never get to where exactly where you want it to be. But when you add the steps in over time, you understand that you have control. And when you understand you have control, a whole bunch of stuff opens up for you. I'm not trivializing the Spreecast thing. It's like, that's a new thing. I wasn't familiar with it. I didn't know the technical parts. I watched the video, but I was like, this is going to be kind of weird. I was like, dive in. 20 years ago, I wouldn't have done that. I would just be like, I just want to avoid that. Right? I just want to avoid that. You know, there are things in my life looking back where I kind of did ease my way in. You know, I used to be very afraid about getting on stage, you know, and over time it just kind of built into that. It kind of happened naturally as the band got more popular and then all of a sudden we were playing into bigger crowds. It's like, okay, that kind of was a natural progression. I didn't have to be conscious about easing my way in. I didn't like, okay, I'm going to add one more person into the audience. Like, we just played when we could play. But over time I got more used to it and more used to it, it became something that I actually kind of enjoyed. Actually really enjoyed. But not, you know, I didn't go from 0 to 60 overnight. The same thing comes into play with regards to our health and happiness. You have to learn in a way to be healthy and happy. And diets and quick fix plans don't teach you that. They don't teach you how to be healthy and happy. They teach you how to lose weight in 10 days. They do. And if that's a skill that you want to learn, then learn it. But just know what it is. My marathon training plan is not training me to be healthy and happy. It is training me to run a marathon. That is the goal that I have set for myself with regards to that thing that I'm doing. But I've got that little background, boom, health and happiness, health and happiness. At the point the marathon gets in the way of that, I'm liberated. And that's why I have been much better about adjusting this training plan that I'm on, because I'm at a better place and I believe it's partly because of this podcast. Because I'm really invested in thinking about this podcast and about my approach. I've gone even deeper in some ways than my book and in other avenues. I mean, it's very cool. And it's because I've been doing this. It's because, like, I was talking to a client the other day and I said, I think of, you know, what I've figured is about it for the hour that I do this podcast, it's about 4 to 5 hours total time. Because I'm in deep on this stuff. And I want to get to the background of, you know, what's behind the veil on all these kinds of trends that I see people doing over and over again. They're sold a quick fix and then it doesn't work. And then they go, maybe this one, maybe this one, maybe this one. And we're addicted to the quick fix. And all I'm working on is, can you be aware of that? Start there. Can you be aware that you're addicted to the quick fix? And even though that next pill seems, well, maybe this is the one, ask yourself, even if it were, is it going to deliver you what you really want in your life because you're naturally designed to be healthy and happy and in balance? Is that pill going to deliver it to you even if it is the end all be all for weight loss? What is it that you want? The goal of health and happiness is a rest of your life goal. It is a rest of your life goal. It results when you set that as your goal, you fill in the blanks along the way. And you might adjust and you might change. Your life might change so that the things that fill in for you, you might have kids. So then all of a sudden your priorities are very different. Before I had children, I wanted to be a full-time musician for the rest of my life and tour and all these kinds of things before I got married and had kids. I think about my wife the other day, she's like, do you ever think about you know, going back on the road again? And there's talk about me doing a few shows and I might do that and that's fun. The idea of getting in a bus or van and going on the road for a month right now has zero interest for me. Do you know how liberating that is? Because when I was 22, that's all I wanted to do. And it was a grind and I got to do it and that's amazing. And so part of it is that I was able to do things in my life that I was afraid of but still did anyway. And now I'm not thinking, wonder what that would have been like. I did it. I experienced it. And now I'm like, I'm over it. This is what I love doing. I love doing the podcast. I love speaking in front of groups. I love teaching. I love working with clients. I'm loving it. And I'm, you know, I get to be with my kids and my family and everything. That's just where my, what fills in the blank. But I'm in charge of deciding what fills in the blanks for my health and happiness. That's a goal. The marathon fits into that goal or not. The diet fits into that plan or not. Everything you do either fits into that goal, that rest of your life picture, or not. Or maybe a little gray area, and you have to kind of suss that out every day. Ask yourself what you're doing or what you're embarking on with regards to your health and happiness, if it's a diet or anything else. Is this something I can do for the rest of my life? Is this something I can do for the rest of my life? Can I train for marathons for the rest of my life? Probably. I mean, I enjoy it right now. Maybe I'm 90 and I can't do that, but I enjoy the process of, well, I'll put it this way. I can running, I love. I love running, and I run and I go, I hope I can do this. I hope I can run for the rest of my life. That's how much I love running. Now, do I love training for a marathon like that? Not as much. I'll be honest, not as much. I mean, I'm wondering, like, May 4th is my marathon. I was going to do a second one. I probably won't. I mean, it's a lot of training, and I've done two. I'll probably do one a year. I think that's a good thing. Is it a failure because I didn't do two a year because of my original plan was to do two a year? Not by a long shot. You want to know why? Because it's adding to my health and happiness to not train for the second marathon. Whoa. Kind of makes you think about failure in a different way, doesn't it? It's a positive thing sometimes to not do something. It's a positive act to not do something. I want to be healthy and happy. Running adds to that. Training for a marathon does not. Training for a marathon does not really add to my health and happiness in the way that running does. I did get joy from achieving a marathon. I would like to break 4 hours in this next marathon, so I'm training to do that. I hope that I do. If I don't, whoopity-doo, honestly. And these are things I grapple with. It sounds easy. Like, I'm like, whoopity-doo. But there's struggle there. I'm not going to lie to you. Okay, you guys are my closest BFFs. We're all BFFs here. All small steppers are BFFs. I'm going to leave you there for this week. Okay? Rest of your life. What are you doing for the rest of your life? What can you do for the rest of your life? How many people think about that day to day? How many people think about that when they pick up a diet book? How many people think about for the rest of your life? Okay? When you come across somebody who goes, God, they look amazing. They lost 75 pounds. Think to yourself, I wonder if they can think of that, if they can do that for the rest of your life, for the rest of their lives. Can you maintain a healthy weight doing what you're doing for the rest of your life? Because if you can't and you're going to gain it back because you didn't work on and be aware of the things that led you to the weight gain in the first place, then there's better ways for you to enrich your life starting today. Okay, remember the alternate title? Enrich your life to enrich your life. Start thinking about how you can enrich your life today, and that will lead you to a more enriching life by definition. By definition. What can you do for the rest of your life? Ask that question. It's not what people usually ask, but if you can maintain a diet or you can maintain the steps you're doing for the rest of your life and you keep adding those in and you kind of back off a little bit now and then, you add some more in, you keep on that thing and you're living your life the whole time. You're still living your life, still visiting family, still going to work, still hanging out with your friends, but you're adding little things in that you could do in that context, and all of a sudden magical things happen. They're not really magical. I don't even know what they are, but they're shifts. They're shifts that take place. Your life will change. The more you take control of your life, the more you decide what you do and what you don't do. I've said this before. It's a reason why, you know, I'm passionate about this. I feel better now at 45 than I did at 25. I wish that I could transport everybody for just a day into feeling really good, because then you don't have to be motivated. You're going to do whatever it takes to get to this place. It's a somewhat of a leap of faith to change your diet, for instance. I can tell you, you're going to love food just like you do now, if you start eating really healthy. Well, that's a leap of faith. You've got to either believe me or not. But I wouldn't even worry about that. I would think to myself, do I want to be healthier and happier? Start there. Do I want to be healthier and happier? Then what can I do now toward that goal that I can do for the rest of my life? And start there. That's another way to think about your small steps and about how to incorporate little things in your life that are manageable and that don't add stress to an already stressful life. Do not add stress to your already stressful life. Make your transition something that is enriching along the way. Just focus on along the way. Focus on along the way. There's no failure if you're just thinking about that. You got to back off sometimes. You got to add sometimes. I know I sound like a broken record, but it's just, I got to keep pounding this home every week. I got to keep pounding it home. All right? Keep on keeping on. Send me an email if you want, podcast@transitioningtohealth.net. You can just say, you know what, Sid, I'm small stepping in this way. I would love to hear that stuff. Tweet, send me a Twitter tweet. You know how I still mispronounce? I'm so not savvy, and I really should be. I could try to be savvier. I still will say, send me a Twitter thing, Twitter-ish. Be Twitter-ish. All right, you guys, you're doing great. Keep on keeping on. Listen to the podcast every week. Just if that's all you can do to think about things, think about your life, then that's a good positive thing, and you're taking it. You're taking the power back. All right? I will be back next week. In the meantime, be well.
I'm killed, I'm killed. 'Cause I can't find the strength to wake up. I'm dead, I'm dead. 'Cause my cares went away with you. I'm feared, I'm feared. 'Cause I walk around with no ground beneath me. Dreams, they keep on rolling. Plans, they are making their way. All I can do is package them, package them away. Away. I'm lost, I'm lost. 'Cause finding means nothing to me. I'm drunk, I'm drunk. 'Cause I can't face another day. I'm spent, I am spent. 'Cause I watched you throw it all away.